Hi there, folks, and welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. And this is Tony, and I'm coming to you as most times in New Zealand. And with me on the show, I think for the third time, I have Eric Stogner, and Eric is in Georgia. So welcome back, Eric.
Hey, good morning, or in my case, good afternoon, Tony.
Yes, a bit of a time difference with you on Eastern Standard Time and New Zealand time, me. So we've managed to get it organised, and it is morning here, so I'm kind of freshish. So
I know, yeah. Sometimes I go my whole day feeling that way. It's spinning sometimes.
Yeah, I know that feeling well. So there's plenty of things we can talk about, and I think, yeah, I mentioned to you off air, you know, I've been thinking about the whole Trump and wrecking ball thing, how in his first term particularly they had a lot of cartoons. Even The Economist magazine had Trump as a wrecking ball, and there were numerous other ones, and it didn't really happen in his first presidency, but it certainly seems to be happening now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems whenever the news is on, I don't try and watch it much, but my wife has it on in the background. There's some new executive order. There's some new thing that's either being taken apart or analyzed or reimagined. That's a little catchphrase I hear sometime. Let's reimagine how government might work. And, you know, we have a new acronym, right? DOGE, D-O-G-E, yeah. Department of Government Efficiency. There's a lot always percolating in the background. And it eventually kind of gets overwhelming. You almost need to, I step away from the room sometimes. And I think, well, I'm glad I've got a number of news feeds and sources where I don't even need to watch this stuff. I'll let them do the digestion of what's going on. And maybe I'll just keep my ears open for what's important. I find I'm stepping away more and more, and just needing to take a break from the chaos.
Yeah.
Back yesterday, you sent me a note. We were going to try and talk yesterday, and you said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I just came in from chainsawing." And I'm like, "Oh, there's a new verb, chainsawing." And I thought, you know, good for you. You're out and about. You share those videos with us so often about going to the mountain cabin and just getting close to nature. And you know, there you are, chainsawing away. And I think, you know, that's what we all need to do: find a hobby outside, do something real with someone real, and just take a break from this, because I guess what I would really want to focus on today is the most recent article I posted, which was almost a month ago, about chaos. And just let's think about that for a bit and talk about it, because it's funny, as I sent it to you, you and I both share the same reference. We watched a certain 1960s, 1970s TV show, apparently, together, that was created in the U.S. but aired in New Zealand and elsewhere, I imagine, of the English-speaking world, and it was called Get Smart.
Yeah.
And already, like, ding, my ears go up. Oh, smart. Everything in our world today is smart. Smart watches, smart houses, smart phones, smart cameras. So what was going on back then? Because, you know, we grew up, and that was just a mindless sitcom, and we enjoyed watching it. And if any of you, any of the listeners remember or you want to look it up, it was just a relaxing, funny show where there was a secret agent named Maxwell Smart, and he had a little assistant named Agent 99. And what I remember is they introduced us to the concept of the cell phone. The prime character, Agent Maxwell Smart, was wearing dress shoes that would convert into a cell phone. All you had to do was pick it up and turn it over, and there was a dial, a rotary dial tone, which is kind of funny, on the sole, and then he could talk with an antenna. So it was like those early cell phones that were like a brick you would carry around, and Agent 99 managed to have one in a high heel shoe model. So, you know, they were talking to each other and showing us a glimpse of the future. But what else struck me is they always had an arch villain, right? Every superhero or spy needs a villain. And the villain was actually part of an organization called Chaos.
Siegfried, we have ways of making you talk.
Exactly.
Yeah,
naturally had a little German accent going on there, and you know, reference to Nazi Germany, of course. Yeah. But the idea, and they spelled it differently, K-A-O-S in capital letters. I imagine that stood for something. I didn't research, like, what did that stand for? But nonetheless, I think they're saying something to us, like chaos is your enemy, and chaos is the means your enemy use to attack you. And so with that kind of like funny reference in mind, I went back to like, well, what world do we find ourselves in? And it seems like we are in a world of chaos and that there are agents of chaos going on out there. So is this real? Is this happening? Is this biblical? And, my mind kind of goes to, well, look what happens in our real world. It seems the media is on a mission always to give us murder and mayhem. You know, it's always some kind of chaos going on. And if there's not any in your local area, they'll span the globe and show you some chaos. No matter what, it feels like almost like a tenderizer you would use on meat to just keep the people in a state of panic and tension and chaos. And once the meat's tenderized, it's easy to manipulate the meat. You know, now we can cook it up.
Yeah. And of course, the opposite from chaos was control, which is like the order out of chaos with the Masonic thing as well. So,
mm-hmm. And so now, now we introduced a dialectic, right? You've got control on one hand, chaos on the other. You know, is it lunacy on one side and common sense on the other? So notice it seems in every realm of life and at every level, whether it's the educational system, the political system, now even the private sector system, the healthcare system, you know, we have what we grew up with, a foundation, say, that we were raised on and trust the science and taught these things. And yet they do things that seem like it's being caused by chaos and it's just bringing on chaos. And then we're supposed to come back to them and trust the science. I don't know. You remember when Davos kicked off a year ago, what was their stated goal for 2024? And I'm sure rolling into 2025 was they said, we need to reestablish trust. Yeah. And I thought, how interesting. So you're acknowledging that there's a little bit of a trust issue people have with the stated authorities. And then I thought, well, how are you going to do that? Because I don't see how you can establish trust with any of the people that have, you know, bamboozled the world. And yet look what's happening with say, Trump in America. Suddenly, this last night, the news was on and I saw the ticker on the bottom next to the word alert and caution and, you know, breaking and all the words they use to keep you on edge. It said something like Trump, the most popular president ever. It's like, okay. I feel like we're characters in the ultimate reality show, that it's been scripted that Trump has been brought in to be our great American hero. And he's there to right a bunch of wrongs that the last lunatic puppets did to us. And now everything's going to be better. And we're entering into, what do they call it? Some kind of golden age.
Yeah. An Alice Bailey term, basically. Yeah. And it's interesting you mention that because I had the car racing couple of weeks ago, you know, and Trump said, called himself your favorite president, you know.
If I proclaim it to be so, it must be so. And since they control all the media, I mean, it is interesting to watch how all the left-wing media seems really shut down and muted, and the right-wing media and people are going with everyone's like happy days are here again kind of thing. And yet, really? In fact, here's something. You're a music guy. You'll probably get this. Growing up, do you remember the band Rush?
Yeah. Progressive rock. Yeah.
I used to really like that because it had a hard-driving beat. Yeah. Now I kind of notice the satanic imagery, and I can't say they're a favorite anymore. But the one song that keeps coming to mind is that it was called Limelight, and there's a line in the lyrics that says, "All the world's indeed a stage. We are merely players, performers, and portrayers, each another's audience outside the gilded cage." And I'm like, yep, there we go. We are seeing the old stage and we're all playing our role. And, you know, the people we see in politics, they're actors and portrayers. And now with social media, we can all be actors and portrayers. We can start a YouTube channel. We can launch a TikTok. We can all be performers and players, and we can be each other's audience in a gilded cage. And I wonder, like, are we getting a golden age or a gilded cage?
Yeah. That's very, very good. Yep, absolutely. And you're right. Like, everything is sort of set up to either polarize people one way or the other, and then that is enables them to direct people the way they want, you know. Yes. Like you have the thesis, antithesis and the thesis, you know, and then you bring the synthesis, so you move people to where you want to go. And under the last regime, you know, they deliberately let zillions of people over the border and all of that sort of thing. So now somebody has to come along and mop it up and clean it up and use a heavy hand on that type of thing. And it's like, I don't think it was an accident, you know. It was done to bring this time, and then people are going, oh, thank goodness he's doing something about this issue and that issue and the other one. But it's like, and some of it on the surface looks really good, what, you know, what Trump is doing. But you got to ask the question is why? Why is this happening? Why is it, you know, happening right now? And it's like that wrecking ball thing. It's like he's going in and with Elon Musk, you know, like wrecking things so that they can rebuild them. Basically,
who was that awful singer? She's popular. Was it Ariana Grande or somebody? Is famous. We could look it up here online for riding a wrecking ball.
Oh, Miley Cyrus. That was
Miley Cyrus. There we go. So yeah, that wrecking ball image, and you know, it almost, you can feel the momentum in our country, especially of like all this change. You feel like we're all riding that wrecking ball. And on one hand, it's fun a little bit, right? You're on a roller coaster. It kind of feels fun. But on the other hand, when the pendulum hits the other side, what is going to happen and what all is going to get wrecked in the process? I'm starting to feel that, you know, this is all churning us up so we can rah, rah, we love Trump. And we're being told we love Trump, whether we love him or not. And that way we'll be so excited with our new king that we'll just endorse and not complain about anything that he does. And so meanwhile, while all these rotten things are torn down, what else is going to be erected in its place? And so when we're all said and done, is there going to be a Skynet global control gilded cage that is put up because we were so enthralled about this good stuff, you know, all these wrongs being righted? Well, now we're going to have some new wrongs. And once that comes back around, I don't know that we'll be able to get out of the cage. We'll be trapped.
That's dead right. And the Skynet thing, look, that's exactly right. Who is the guy that is Trump's man out the front doing a lot of the wrecking? Is Mr. Skynet, well, sorry, Mr. Starlink and, you know, Elon Musk. And I see the other day that Tesla is now the biggest, you know, making more money than Toyota and other, I forget Toyota and who else combined and all that. Like, it's huge. And who is Tesla? It's Elon Musk. You've got Neuralink, you know, you've got all this digital stuff. I mean, even Tesla, that's electric cars, right? And everything, you know, if you want to switch off an electric car remotely, it's pretty easy, much easier than, you know, traditional petrol engines and so on like that. So Elon Musk has now been up there in this position of wielding an awful lot of power. And you mentioned the Skynet. It's like, well, that's why I think Starlink is the perfect way to start off that. And you add Neuralink and all these other things into it. So why are they got us in this position where people are watching Elon Musk with bated breath to see what he's going to do next?
Right. Well, he's, again, another performer and portrayer who seems, he's just like a cartoon character brought to the big screen. He's bigger than life. He's so cool. You know, who was that superhero that was the robot man with the light on his chest? Stark. Remember him? Stark Industries, who was what was his character? Do you remember?
No, I'm not sure which one you're meaning.
It'll come in a sec. But anyhow, he was another tech guy, and he had this suit he would put on, and he was like a superhero, but his superpower was his brilliant brain to all the technology, so he could be, you know, this great superhero for the world. So it seems like Musk is being set up as that character, you know, and I would say Trump is being set up as like the Joker, this anarchist that smiles a lot, and he's funny, and he's witty, and he's doing things for the people, but he's going to tear down a lot. There's going to be a lot of destruction. And you see, back to the chaos. So we're constantly in a mental chaos. Look how the year and the inauguration began. Of course, we had, of course, the assassination attempt that was along the way to chaos. Then at the beginning of the year in the U.S., we had a bizarre shooting involving civilians in New Orleans. And then you had a Tesla vehicle, one of those SUV refrigerator trucks, I call them, rolling down the road. That was what was used to blow up a hotel, which was one of Donald Trump's hotels. And then since then, we've had a slew of airline accidents. planes are flipping over on contact or colliding with helicopters in some spectacular forms of chaos. And, you know, as you hear the aftermath of these things, you know, we could even go back to, let's see, where was that bridge? The Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge, and something went kafooey, and of all the places a ship could hit, it hit the perfect piling to knock down the whole bridge. And so you're just seeing all this chaos that seems just unheard of, and yet I think it's helping to really build the case that, you know, the world is a complex place, way too complex for people. We need AI to manage these things for us. There's too much human error. So immediately, say, the air traffic accident in D.C., right, one of the most traveled corridors, you got a military helicopter and a civilian plane, and then we hear, oh, they were short-staffed in the tower, or there was DEI hires, you know, going on in either of these accidents. So whatever the reason, it all seems to be we need a bunch of chaos to be highlighted in the media so that we'll all nod our heads collectively and say, yes, we need Elon and his technology to solve this for us. And we'll willingly ask for build our cage and gild it for us. And we'll willingly go in the gilded cage or the smart city that you make for us, because that big bad world out there is too complicated. I mean, that's another symptom, right, on a personal level, of the chaos, is I notice people, and the younger and less spiritually grounded they are, people are suffering from the chaos. They have anxiety disorders. They can't relate to other people. They just want to curl up in a ball on the couch. And don't worry, you can still order a pizza, or you can sell your car, or buy a house, or do whatever you want without getting out of your jammies and getting off the couch. So it's like we've been bred to be this needy, fragile, chaos-overwhelmed race of people that, okay, just let's hunker down and eat some popcorn and watch some Netflix, and someone else will manage this. You know, the smart people we elected, and they'll manage life for us. So now we have AI in our phones, right? We turn to it for everything, right? Everything. Any question we have, I couldn't remember the name of that Stark. We could find it out in a second. And look what that's done to us. This has become our master, and it's also become our oracle. It's what we go to. It's who we go to. When's the last time anyone questioned what was on here? And yet we know full well that just because it's posted online doesn't make it so. And once everything is digital, we don't have books. It's like a dystopian movie we're living in, right? Who reads books? Who even bothers to own books anymore? Books are printed that you can research what once was. I've noticed one of the articles I was writing for you, I was researching what I thought was a pretty well-known phenomena. I could not reach it on Google. I could not reach this quote that I wanted, and I had to go to a different search engine, DuckDuckGo or something, and I found it. And I thought, history is being erased on the internet.
Absolutely. They can do that. And it's all like under the guise of we have to stop misinformation and disinformation. They were pushing that. How dangerous that is, so therefore we need to control it. And of course Google has done that. The search engines to search certain things is not like it used to be, where you could find, now to find a lot of the alternative stuff or whatever, it's much more difficult if it's not portraying the line that they want you to find. It's harder to find. And yeah, that is part of it, I think. Eventually it gets further and further down, so it becomes buried, and then they could probably erase it entirely.
Right. And then once we go here, my mind goes to Noah Yuval Harari, or Yuval Noah Harari, and however he wants to order his names. And he talks a lot about the technocracy, the technological solution, and how, you know, one of the things he is most gleeful about is, well, we no longer need to acknowledge a sky god, a god in the sky. We, you know, he's very clear. His idea is that the Bible and almost any man-made religion are just that. It's like an opiate for the masses. It's a fictitious story used to explain away, you know, the phenomena in the world, but it's just that, a fictitious story. And it even strikes me there are a number of people out there that well, I'll just name Brent Weinstein and a couple other well-known atheists, they will say, gosh, we really need the Judeo-Christian mindset and people to go back to those values, because in their world, in their mind, society works a whole lot better when people have that framework. But they themselves are staunch atheists and, you know, a creation, you know, they don't believe in creationists. They believe in evolution. He's an evolutionary biologist. So I find that fascinating that he's smart enough to see society's in trouble, and it benefits when there are people with a Judeo-Christian mindset or set of values, and that the world without it is just chaotic. And so he'd like to see an overlay of cultural Christianity as opposed to authentic. In fact, he doesn't believe in it, but he believes in cultural Christianity. So that's fascinating. So wind all these together. What will come, and you've all even said as much, is like, well, we can rewrite the Bible, and we can have AI rewrite the Bible, and it can kind of be a blending and a melding and the coexisting of all the world religions into this ecumenicalism, whatever, and we'll have the ultimate opiate for the masses, that everything will be okay, you know, everything will be allowed, you know, really, just look at the Georgia Guidestones. There can be your Ten Commandments, you know, that can be interwoven into this new AI Bible that'll be coming. So you see it already. Like when I type in Bible, and I'm looking for something, the first thing that pops up is AI gives me their rendition of it. So you have to know your actual Bible, maybe a printed Bible, able to refute what's coming at you. And I just presume soon, remember the number one end time warning sign that the Lord said was what? Beware of the deception. And there'll be deception on every level. And so I guess maybe where I might want to head this and eventually land this plane here today is like, there's an end game always. We can speculate about what's going on in the world and how is this contributing to the end game, but we know there's an end game, and it all leads to, you know, the prophecies in Revelation. We know that there is a battle. We live in a world at war, and part of a war is always chaos, the chaos of war. And so that's why we're all experiencing it. We're all living in it. And so what can we be certain of? There's a battle. It's between the Lord of heaven and Satan. And everything we're seeing playing out are his minions being allowed to do their damage, have their day, have their way, because scripture is very clear. You know, this world, the whole world, lies under the power of the evil one, right? And so what we see is evidence of that, and we're being called to not be of the world. We're in the world still, but we don't need to be of the world. So to me, that's really what all this chaos needs to drive us towards. It's like, well, how do we deal with the chaos? What's the antidote to the chaos? Part of it is just recognizing that we're in chaos, and then seeing, well, Jesus is that antidote, and our spiritual life is the only answer. Maybe we'll do a shout out to Andre, Spiritual Logic, the channel. He's a frequent guest on your show now, and he also has his other channel, Following Christ. I mean, he is like a street preacher without a street and without the obnoxious yelling. He just gets on day after day, sometimes two times a day, and he is throwing down these truths to whomever will log in and listen. So I would put a shout out to give a listen to him. He just dropped some really profound things about what we're talking about the puppets and the things going on in our age, and how, you know, we're really only going to find our rest in Christ. And then I think I'll do one more shout out. And this is just a political, it's not a political announcement or by any means. And I'm not getting paid by anybody, but John Eldridge and his ministry, Wild at Heart, is big about walking closely with Christ and being led by the Spirit. And I think that's a big thing to remember in this age. It's like, find the spiritual speakers who are fully awake. In fact, one of our earlier articles that I often reference to you, Tony, when we're emailing is AAOX4, right? And I meant that's kind of a code for, is someone awake, alert, and oriented times four? Meaning, are they fully awake? Do they see what's really going on? And then the answer in that article and in almost everything I've ever written, and what Andre says on his channel, what John says in his, like, if we could just tune into the Spirit, then we have our answer right there. He will guide us in all ways. God is an author with of everything, and he is not an author of confusion or chaos, but of a sound mind. And we can tune into that sound mind and be, have some level of peace about what's going on in our world. And it helps us every day, and it helps us to navigate the chaos and what's going on. And it's where I think, it gives us peace and hope for eternity.
Yeah. It's dead right. Look, we are all in a spiritual battle, and in many ways it has hotted up, and I'm hearing it all the time, people in our personal lives having all kinds of crazy things that we seem to come out of left field that we have to deal with, and I'm just noticing it on a lot of people's lives at the moment. And so we need to realize that we are in a spiritual battle, and the answer, so I'll just grab a drink of water quickly. Mm-hmm. And losing my voice a bit. The answer is not found in politics. It's not found in whoever's in the White House or in Parliament in New Zealand or whatever. That's not the answer to any of this, because, as you mentioned, is orchestrated. And so the answer is only going to be found in our personal walk with God, with Jesus, and like being in tune with him and seeking him by reading the Bible, like you say, and seeking God for answers for our personal circumstances and situation. Because, under COVID, when that was all, that was the catalyst that pushed everyone into this crazy paradigm, and a lot of people just were completely blindsided. But then there were some of us that had been feeling like, okay, God wants us to be prepared ahead of time for things. And so when it all happened, it was like, oh, okay, I've got my stack of whatever toilet paper enough to last and food, and I don't need to worry about that. And instead of being completely blindsided by the unexpected, so many were, some of us kind of knew something was coming. And that was because God had been warning us. And I think I've got that feeling now. It's like people need to be prepared physically, spiritually, and mentally, for what's coming. And however that works in an individual person's life, it's be different for everyone, but it's focusing, it's getting the answers from God, going, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to prepare? And getting to, really hear his voice and understand and listen to his guidance. Not like some weird, wacky way out there stuff like some people do. Oh, I saw a yellow car, so that means God wants me to buy a yellow car. None of that kind of stuff, It's like that. But I do believe that when it comes to the critical stuff, if we're really listening, God will give us answers. And yeah, that's absolutely what we need to be seeking.
And I mean, that's what, when COVID hit, it was such a dramatic dose of chaos, right? We all were told and we lived through. And it was such a learning experience because, everyone kind of lost their mind and went with this program, and they weren't able to think critically and evaluate, does this even make common sense? And it was hard during those seasons because I was desperate, and I was grateful to find certain channels on the internet and certain people, very few, that questioned kind of like I did. And then later, as time has progressed, we've all figured out who was right and who was wrong on that. How are we that smart? I don't think so. I think we had the guidance of the Spirit just in a still small voice saying, be careful of that. Watch out for that. Some of us heard more than that. And that's what we're getting at here. And all for all the listeners, it's not some wacky thing. And this isn't some pithy answer like, oh, Christianity is always your answer. No, there's truth to this. And knowing about God is not the same thing as knowing God. You're not hearing and communing with him. And if you haven't experienced it, it is hard to imagine. I will grant you that. But just take us at our word that there is more to your faith than just knowing facts about God and going through a routine. I mean, really, that is this book I mentioned that's literally coming out this month called Experiencing Jesus Really. That's what this book is about. It's like, as a believer, you can hear his voice. This is all biblical. It says in Scripture. It's frustrating that this hasn't been taught. I know. I've been in church my whole life, And I didn't hear about these things and I didn't know about them until it happened to me in a dream vision experience on one of our previous interviews I talked about. But once that's happened, you can't unhear that. And I have grown and heard more and more over the years. So that's kind of our plea here is like, guys, gals, get close to the Lord, abide with him and seek him with all your heart because he has more to share and he will keep us and guide us in these turbulent, chaotic times where we finally do have an anchor for the soul. We don't need to panic. We don't need to panic as the unbelievers do, and we don't need to fall into traps. I mean, really, back to the chaos of the world and what's going on, I almost wonder if this isn't going to come full circle back on many Christians to where when the Skynet and all the control grid comes locking down on everybody, people are going to say, wait a minute, who voted for this guy? This guy, and there's this idea that Trump represents Christianity when the truth is, if you're a discerning Christian and remember, he's the one that said he's never needed to repent. I mean, yeah. Hello? By definition, you're not a Christian, but yet Christians have been brought in and I love you, my Christians. I love you, Christians. You know, he says over and over, it's like, all right, beware who you're being drawn into. So all that to say, I wonder if there'll be a backlash against the Christians by everyone else who wakes up and says, wait a minute, this was your man. You brought him in and all your people brought him in. Almost like there's a backlash now against, say, Fauci and all the leftists, you know, of course. You know, we don't see anyone in prison, do we? But there is a backlash. People are rising up against them. Well, there'll probably be a backlash against Christians. And that will be a perfect set of chaos to say, you know what? Maybe we need to take the best part of Christianity and the best part of Islam and the best part of Judaism, and the best part of every other religion out there, and we'll just meld them all together and we'll flush out the bathwater and what's left is a better baby. And we'll build back better, baby. drill.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have a bit of an issue with the people that have, you know, you've got to vote for Donald Trump or you're not a real Christian or that type of thing. And I mean, that's really dangerous for people to be putting any politician in that sort of basket. Yes. It was like Franklin Graham, like, you're not a real Christian. Jesus would have taken the jab, you know. That type of thing, it's manipulation at the finest. And I think a lot of people, probably pastors and things that are pushing it, don't really even think of it on that level, don't realize that they are being manipulated. And in a way, they're manipulating people by saying that, by telling people you've got to vote for this lesser of two evils or whatever. But it isn't scriptural to vote for the lesser of two evils. In fact, there's nowhere even says about voting for politicians in the Bible. So right. I think we've got to just get our eyes off expecting solutions from the world. When you said right early on in the show, we know that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, the prince of the power of the air. So if that's true, why are we thinking that some politician, especially in these end times, is going to be anything other than controlled by the satanic agenda to get us to a certain point? But of course, obviously, God has an overall plan, and Satan's a pawn having to fulfill that role too, because God's ultimate, you know, it's written in the Bible where this all goes. So we don't need to fear it in a sense, because God is still in control. But what we do need to do is make sure our own lives are under that lordship of Jesus Christ. And, yep. You know, that's where it really comes to. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. And when we're in the spiritual battle, you know, like you're saying, we can become running around like a headless chicken trying to figure out the answers for ourselves and get blindsided. And it's like, oh, my, you know, what do I do? I know it's real easy to get like that. But somehow we have to be able to calm in our spirits and go, okay, God is still in control. Lord, what do you want me to do here? And talking about headless chickens, just off this, that bird flu, this, you know, they're culling all these chickens everywhere. And now that is something we need to be watching. This is not some random thing. And it's like COVID. Oh, no, we can't have natural immunity. We've all got to get this, you know, wear masks and get a jab. And it's sort of like the same thing with the birds and all that now. It's like, oh, no, no, we've just got to kill them all. We can't let them develop natural immunity or whatever and lose some along the way. It's like probably a a bioengineered virus anyway. But
yeah, once you go after birds, I mean, which is it, chicken or the egg? Well, it doesn't matter. They both cost a fortune now.
Yeah, exactly. And if they want to control the food supply to control the people, that's a good way to do it. So I would say watch this space when it comes to this bird flu. And we already know with the tech guys that Trump has got up there that they're talking about mRNA cures for all sorts of things, and including bird flu and all of that. So I think watch this space down the track a little bit. I won't go any more further with that, but
That'll be the next round of chaos. And, you know, all these things contribute to the hyperinflation. There'll be famine, riots, and, you know, down the road, I wonder which one or why not? How about a combination of issues that will erupt, whether it's the mass deportations, if that continues on, and the, you know, migration subjects, or any of these levers that the powers that be want to pull at the same time that would lead to some sort of chaos in society, whether it's hunger, famine, energy outages. I think there'll be, you know, it's like an organ, press on a bunch of buttons all at once and you're just going to hear chaos. And then suddenly we'll need Skynet and drone patrolling and robots. And, you know, we'll need a system to manage the people, because it'll be shown to us we will devolve into chaos if we don't have this. And now everyone will be clamoring for it, you know. And in the spiritual realm, I even think there's a whole legalistic framework that is followed, that, you know, evil is only allowed to do what God allows them. And then, you know, when the people clamor for evil, then evil is going to be given to them. So we'll all clamor for our gilded cage and our 15-minute city, you know, patrolled by Skynet and robots and drones, and we're going to like it. We'll like it compared to the chaos that we're going to be subjected to in the meantime. So, yeah. And in the end, you know, there's only one antidote. It's your peace in Christ. And that's the only place this is going to come from, people. So you know, don't do it out of burden or duty, or because you feel like, you know, you're being told to. No, out of just peace and resilience, and you realize the Lord's going to solve this eventually. It's all it's all been laid out in prophecy anyhow, and that should remind us that God's in control. He's aware of all this. There's an end game. There's a plan, but we may go through some stuff before we get to that end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess, yeah, thanks, Eric. Now, people can find your articles. You've written a handful of articles on our website, aminutetomidnight.com, including that article about the chaos. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to find them, you know, can go to our website and find your articles. So have you got any last thoughts, and then we'll wrap up?
Just that in some ways, what's God's plan? We keep focusing on what Satan's doing. I think he's doing this on purpose so that we would be drawn to him and we would learn to rely on him. And I think we should all be prepared to always give a reason for the hope and the faith that we have inside of us. So God's going to probably send people to each of us who are awake. And once he does, now we have a basis on which to spread a lot of hope and joy, even in the midst of the storm. I just think about Jesus, who the passage where he's riding on the boat and the storm comes up and all his disciples are panicking because there's chaos going on, and they have to rouse him, right? He's sleeping in the front and they're like, don't you care that we perish? And what does he do? He first chides them for having little faith, and then he rebukes the storm. And boom, everything's calm. And I just learned a new element of this. He was heading across the sea, and the next person he encountered was who? A man who had been possessed by evil spirits for years. And Jesus even had a challenge rebuking them. He asked, how many of you are there? What is your name? And they said, Legion. And so he eventually had to cast them into swine. The swine went into the sea, and then this man who was possessed. So I never linked those two stories. I didn't realize that that's what happened when he hit the other shore. And then it was explained that the storm and the tempest that he had to rebuke that was churned up by the principalities and the powers of the air, that they may have been trying to take Jesus and his disciples out while they're crossing the river. And so, you know, Jesus wasn't alarmed, but he did have to rebuke. And so that's the world we live in. There's a world at war. Satan was trying to silence Jesus and his followers then, and it hasn't stopped today. So whether we go through our own near misses and chaos, expect it. But no, we've got we already have our victory. The battle's already won. We're just still fighting some of the wars that are left to fight. Maybe I reversed that, right? The war's already won, but we still have these battles to fight. So I guess that's my closing thought, is realize all believers will be under some kind of assault, some kind of attack, but we've already got the victory, but we do need to live in it and invoke it. So pray about that and abide in Christ, and he will shelter you, and you can sleep through some storms and not be panicking. But the Lord has this, but that's the only way we will be victorious through these storms of chaos.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Always. Thanks, Tony. Take care. Cheers.
Also, folks, remember to visit our website anyway to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And if anyone's interested, we also do run A Minute to Midnight by donations, 100%. If you want to help us through donating, that's always appreciated. And you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. There is a donation page on our website. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded. Well, God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show in a few days' time.